Yo, 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 welcome to Crate 808, and today we have on two asymmetric, unconventional extremists who make music for films that don't exist and who are nice with rooks and knights yet too lazy to castle. It's the group who are shining a light in a world of thousand plateaus, a constellation of prisons, and an ocean of archipelagos and algorithms. They're the guys who rap about flannel and cat's eyes, bad pad thai, followed by shopping for cacti. Yes, they really did come in on a cyclone. We've got Billy Woods, Anna Lucid, aka Armand Hammer, in the house. How are you guys doing, man?
Yo, that was dope.
Listen,
that was
dope. Tell you,
first
thing I have to say is we don't get any intros like that in this.
Never.
That
was never. Yeah. No one's ever incorporated the lyrics into the intro in such a fly way. I love that.
Now I feel there might be a slight bit of gassing going on, but I'm here for it. I'm actually here for it. It's fine.
True. True.
That was totally original. I was getting a jar of weed out, and once you were doing it, I decided to get a different jar. I got to adjust here. I see what we're dealing with. I got a different jar. Even jar out. Yeah.
Dig it.
I love that, man. Thank you for coming on, guys. I really, really appreciate you coming on. I know, first of all, you've been doing this thing for a minute, but also I also know Haram has dropped. We are ready to talk about this album with you guys. Before we do, I need to ask you what I ask everyone who comes on this podcast. Guys, what's the least hip-hop thing you've done in the last 24 hours? Go for it.
The least hip-hop thing.
That's a good question.
Shit.
That is a good question. Probably yoga.
Nice.
I know everybody probably out there is going to try to say that somehow yoga is hip hop. I just don't.
No. We're like, hey, what about breakdancers? What about breakdancers? True.
I can't really see it.
I think the least hip hop thing I do, I use a pumice stone on my feet.
Oh, nice. That is, yeah. That's a first.
Hashtag self-care.
You feeling the difference now? You feeling the difference?
You know, I'm smooth, baby.
Love it.
Smooth and moisturized.
Oh, man. Next, we're going to start talking about foot massages. Let's not go down this road, guys. Let's just start where we want to start, man. Haram, how are you guys feeling? The album's been out for about a week now since we've been talking. How are you guys feeling about it?
Man, amazing response. Amazing response. Like, kind of overwhelming at times. I love to see people responding in this way and pulling out the jewels and actually relating to things. And I don't know, man, it's just been really awesome. It's really awesome. Very thankful and very grateful for the position that we're in right now.
Yeah, I echo everything that Elusa's saying. It's been really cool, especially because this process started so long ago, before we actually started trying. It's really interesting to see the whole thing come to fruition. And for me, I guess, in the bigger arc of things, seeing how all of these different threads that started leading to other things, like, we started this before we did Shrines, which was all finished before Brass. And Brass came about through Elusid's connection with More Mother. And part of how that actually came to a head was us going on tour before COVID. And one of our last live shows was with her. And that's where it really went from being more solidified as something that could happen, because that's when she got on Shrines. After that exchange led to her appearing on Shrines, which led to her asking me about doing this Adult Swim thing, which led to, you know, and seeing how those, all of those sorts of things play out. And here we are at something that started before all of those actions, finally seeing it coming to its final place. And so it's really cool on that level too. But yeah, anything that I do creatively, I always, I love to see people's reactions and I love to get the feedback, whatever it is, you know. After working that long, I feel like that's part of the reward. I was never somebody, and I respect people who are like that, but I always like to get, if I felt like I put in that much time and energy, I like to see it be perceived and for people to take it whichever way they take it.
It's a beautiful thing when you've started just them little steps and then you start to get the fruits and the rewards. Are you those kind of guys that sit there and you said that you like to see how people perceive them? Have you been illuminated yourself about this album? Have there been someone said something where you think, yeah, actually I can see that? Or like, you know, has someone read something into it maybe?
I think that kind of happens with a lot of records, and certain people say things sometimes in interviews. Sometimes I might read things on Twitter and be like, I wasn't actually thinking that when I wrote this line, but I love how you interpreted that. And that can be true. I think the way we make our music, and it lends itself to that sort of interpretation, you know, things having multiple meanings within a song or a title And, you know, people listen and they feel it and they can apply it to themselves and draw parallels and comparisons, and it's real to them. So it's real. And I wasn't thinking that way, but it's real to you. And that's really magical for me to think about sometimes, how that works out.
Yeah, that's deep, man. I was actually going to just jump on then. Like, I don't know how you guys feel about like explaining your art, because I can feel like it can kind of be like, I don't really feel the need to explain it, but I'd just love to pick your brains about like parts of this amazing record. But before I do, I mean, it's a bit of a departure for these guys. You're working now with a soul producer like Alchemist, a legendary one at that. How was it working with Al on this project? Did it push you in new ways? Were there any advantages or disadvantages that you saw to it?
I guess I would say that in a way it acted as a catalyst, like I was saying, to all of these other things happening, even if not directly. Like, I'm not sure if we didn't do that, if Shrines would have come out to be the record that it was. Yeah. I don't know. We had started working on this and then we shifted over into that. And some of the things that were coming were like, you know, like the Earl's production came partially about as all of us just chopping it up. Earl and Alchemist are, you know, like best buddies. They're always together. Earl helped produce one of the things on this. And the first song we recorded on Shrines was from his beat. So I think it sparked a lot of things. And then, of course, one of the beats, Giraffe Munch, ends up on Brass with me and More Mother. So thinking about how it was, I thought it was very cool. You know, I got to hang out with him in person a little bit before COVID started. And easy person to work with. We have some shared history and are about the same age, you know, so it's a really good connection and a person who I just enjoy his company. And yeah, it was not hard. I would say that the biggest thing for me was moving past expectations of what somebody that you have looked up to, you know what I mean, is going to send you through with you, and just then digging into what you're actually getting. But that's like any relationship with anybody, you know what I mean? There's what you maybe expect, and then if you're able to say, oh, okay, what do we actually have here?
Yeah. How about you, Lucid?
Oh yeah, it's a similar sentiment. Working with Al, of course, like, you know, it's I keep saying it's so weird, but it's true, man. It's like a teenage me, like fantasy. Honestly, like, I've rapped over his beats before, just not authorized, you know what I mean? Just freestyling with friends, or it just constantly being a presence. He's produced like amazing record. I love the Queensbridge sound, his work with Prodigy, you know, knowing that he came up under or with Mobb Deep and DJ Mug, Soul Assassins, like these, you know, he's been a part of many things that have been like foundational to my like hip hop upbringing, you know? So like getting that call or getting that thumbs up, that approval from him, and means like so much, you know?
Yeah.
Like being on a call and like, Al just, you know, yo, I love what y'all do.
That's mad.
That
That's
meant mad. Like the world. Yeah. It meant everything. You know what I mean? It's just super gas and like, oh, hell yeah. Let me just, as soon as I hang up the phone, I'm writing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Can't wait to get to the studio and record this thing, you know? Just amazing, man. So yeah, it pushes in that way. Mm-hmm. You know, just getting that approval, that stamp of like, yo, I think that you guys are dope. It's just extra gas for me and just like allows me to like challenge myself and just, you know that I can't, you know, I don't want to come with the same old, same old.
Yeah.
And I think one of the first records that we did for this, maybe it was, I think we settled this the other day, right? Like Stone Fruit was one of the first four or five songs that we did, but it wasn't the first two. We did some other songs. Squeegee was in there, and then something like
that. I was mistaken before and I thought it was one or four.
Right.
It was two sessions, two songs. So right. Squeegee is the only intact song from the first session.
Okay.
Yeah. Very first session, right? But yeah. Stone Fruit came from the second session. And Stone Fruit, I mean, that's the closer of the record. Like that's the, triumphant closer. And like, that's the energy I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? It was just like, yo, this is a brand new situation. Like, what are you going to do with it? Mm. And Stone Fruit came out of that. Squeegee came out of that, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, for me personally, just allowing myself, those are the personal challenges. It's like working with someone like
Al. Which is interesting because you sang on both of those joints out the gate.
Yeah. I mean, I was definitely in that zone as well. I was doing other things. I'm working on a Small Bills record.
Big up.
So like thinking melodically.
You know, not to interrupt, and maybe I'm wrong. Had you started the Small Bills record
I had just signed the contract for the Small, and then I went out on tour. I had just signed the contract for the Small Bills thing,
right?
And I was just like, I know.
In February January of 2019?
Yeah, we were in talks. We were in talks, man.
Okay. All right. All right. Go ahead.
Yep. So,
brother.
Huh?
Sorry to hold you, brother.
So just thinking melodically about my approach to like these tracks, like that's the mindset that I was in. So yeah, it spilled over the Alchemist. He started sending those beats, and I don't know, maybe so it was conscious, but also unconscious. Like he was sending beats that I heard immediate melodies to, like Squeegee and Stone Fruit. Immediate melodies is so strong to me. And yeah, I just followed that. I just followed that feeling.
Man, big up on Small Bills. I mean, just so you guys have a bit of context, I'm a relative novice with your music. I think it's Paraffin where I really, really got into your music. And then, yeah, and since then, I've kind of been going back. And man, some of the work is just unreal, to be fair. But like, Furtive Movements, by the way, when people say, oh, Haram is like the most accessible, I've heard that thrown around a lot in this last week. I don't know if I agree with everything like that, because I was like, Furtive Moments to me is probably the most accessible thing they've done as a 90s hip hop head, because it feels like it's from that world a lot more than this. But big up on Small Bills, because that's one of the ones I have been listening to. And that's interesting you were in that mode, bro, because when I'm on Small Bills, I'm hearing like footwork. It feels like there's some footwork music on there. It feels like funk and all that. I was like, these guys don't give a shit, man. Like, I don't know. Billy, you've been doing your thing as well, like for a minute on those, just going into different like worlds. But you guys have brought up Stone Fruit, and I'm not a very hyperbolic person, but I've got to say this song, right? This is some transcendental shit, guys. Like, what was it? I don't want to lose control, but I can't crap my space to grow is one of the lines that just hit me upside the head. And I related in my own interpretation of that. I was wondering for yourself, when you were coming out in that zone, what does that mean for you? Like, if you could just explain that a little bit for me.
For me, it's centering love and relationships and how those things are configured and how things evolve and how things move and shift and responsibilities change and desires change. And, you know, you can shut things down or you can open things up and see more expansively about those things and add on. And that's really where I was coming from with Stone Fruit, you know? Yes, yeah, it's a real song. It's a personal song. Yeah, that's where I was going. I don't want to get too specific, but yeah.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. Love and its many multiplicities.
I love that. Just on your singing and yours as well, Billy, like there are tracks on here where you both of you are going for that. I was gonna shout, like, I know everyone talks about the lyrics and the lyrics are incredible. I know people talk about the soundscapes and of course they're incredible, but can I just give a props to your voices? Because I'm sorry, man, like that, there's
a stretch now. Woods was definitely showing out with, on the vocals on this record, man.
I love that. On Stone Fruit, I know, Elucid, you're doing your thing, but like God's Feet, stuff like that, where singing as well, man, I just wanted to give you a props on that as well. Yo, 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 just interrupting this episode to give you a quick update on our plans for 2021. But before I do, just remember to subscribe on YouTube and like this video. Also, get involved in the comments. We always have some dope takes on there. So shout out to people that are getting involved. We love reading them. And hopefully some more of you guys can get on there and we'll shout you out on the episodes coming up. Now, on to 2021. We here at Crate 808 are setting up a Patreon where for the price of a pint or a coffee every month, we'll be bringing you even more dope hip hop episodes. Simply go to crate808.com, subscribe to the newsletter, you'll get all the updates on our plans. But as a taster, each month we're thinking of bringing you 90s rap hidden gem album reviews that you can vote for. So if you enjoy people like Master Ace, Diamond D, The Lynch Mob, Paris, Big Noid, Blase Blase, we'll be doing a lot more of those. We're going to do our Why I Love series, the MF Doom and J Dilla editions. Each month we'll bring on a guest and dig into why they love a certain Doom or JD track and then test that love. How deep is that love? Next up, Wu-Tang Chronicles Ghostface Killer Edition. We're aiming here, I don't know if it's going to be good or bad, but we're aiming to go through every solo Wu project and we're going to start with Ghostface catalog. So we're going to go in, we're going to talk about the music, we're going to talk about the fashion sense and just some of the amazing bars he's dropped in that career. And the Griselda Marathon, I want to do it. If we get enough patrons, we're going to do it. We're going to go through every single Griselda project and really let's dive in. Yeah. So get involved, hit up crate808.com, subscribe to the newsletter as well as the YouTube and the podcast. Now, back to the episode. I was actually going to say something to you about, like, now you've been working with Al and you have this, maybe a different light has been shown on your work a little bit. Do you feel like that could be a thing now that you've had Alchemist on board and he's a fan?
Can I boil that question down to, would you work with Alchemist again? Because that's the easiest question to answer.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't mean, yeah, but yeah. Of course.
I don't know if there was a level to that. I don't want to sell you short. But if that's the question, yeah, it's...
I was actually going to go... No, I was actually more thinking like lessons that you may have learned and things that you may have got from this relationship. But yeah, maybe I just worded it really badly. But yeah.
I guess so. For me, one of the most interesting things to see was the difference. I guess I remember describing it to Lucid at the time. When we went into post-production, the difference of working with Al, in combination with Willie Green, but the difference of working with Al, so much stuff, minor things would unveil themselves or be added or taken away or put in, where it's like when you start playing, I don't know, like if you play basketball in high school and then you end up ever playing against somebody who's like even Division III basketball player, Division II or something, they're operating on a different level. Their footwork alone renders you at a disadvantage. Like every time they set up, their feet are in the exact right place. So even if you're like, it's just different, you know what I mean? And just seeing sometimes what separates a different level of being good at something.
Yeah.
You know, because you can be good. And then you see somebody, this person, when they do it, it's like this. And yeah, I really felt like the post-production stage when we were working together on things, both his flexibility and his ear and the level of attention that he paid was really interesting to see up close. It was kind of reminiscent to me in some ways of like the first times I worked with Preservation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this was like a whole project. And also because I feel like some of Preservation's production doesn't seem more complex from the beginning, where some of Al's stuff seemed like, oh, this is really simple, boom, boom, boom. Mm. And then after it's finished and he's done doing all the things, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
Songcraft is real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
I'm glad you said songcraft, because that's exactly what I had in my head. He's a craftsman. But I think you all are. To even hear this was coming, you have a certain expectation level. And this is what I wanted to go into with Al. And I heard he said, this must feel amazing. He said your catalogue is like the purest expression of art. One, how does that feel? And two, do you think that adds any pressure on you guys at all?
Yo, when he said that, it was actually like a Zoom interview. I think it was a GQ one, the first time I heard him say that. Mm. I dipped my head away from the camera because I was smiling so hard.
Oh, man.
You know what
That's
I mean?
Beautiful.
It's like hella flattering, of course, you know?
Mm. How about you, Billy?
You can call me Woods, by the way. Not that it's more, it's less formal, actually.
I know, I didn't know which one you're like. Sorry, Woods.
Nobody who knows me ever calls me Billy, ever.
Sorry, just man.
Call me Woods. Now we know each other. No, it's all good.
Okay.
I guess for myself, I would say, to answer the second part of your question, for me, I always feel like there's, you know, the pressure is generated by me, myself, you know? I want to make, it's funny, somebody who I know in a totally different area of life said something to me that was really, they were like, yo, I just think that the stuff you're making is just really important. And I felt like, man, that's where it's at. You know what I mean? I don't want to be, and I don't know how long that's possible. I don't know what, but I want to continue to push to just do things that I'm going to be like, yeah, that was dope. And I'm going to be proud of, and that I feel are going to be challenging me to, in certain ways, artistically, and keep me interested, you know?
Yes.
That's really like, it's crazy in your life to be like, I am now at a point where I'm doing the things that I wanted to do. So, you know, I just try not to underrate that. And I also don't want to, you know, I want to get all the money I deserve and that I can get and success. Mm. I also want it to be like, man, I did it to the best, and I continue to push on an artistic level for as long as I can. I don't want to feel like, oh man, I really took these and these shortcuts artistically.
Mm. Right.
Absolutely, man. And on that, like you're saying there about keeping things in check, I was listening to Aubergine. That just makes me think about ego, obviously, and keeping your ego in check, and also like knowing what you're doing right now is important. When I listen to Aubergine, there's some bars on there that you wrote, which was fully charged. I'm a sun. I'm a star. I got range. I know just who I are. I was wondering for yourself, how do you guys keep your ego in check? And is there anything that maybe have you done psychedelics? Is there like therapy? Is it like you said, yoga?
It's interesting. Like Well, yeah, I love psychedelics, but I mean, I think it's a thing.
I would never touch them, ever.
Oh, serious? Okay.
I think it's bad for other people, but man, that's my worst nightmare.
Oh, damn. Okay. Mm. No DMT for Woods.
No, I definitely am not interested in going on a trip anywhere that is not on a map.
I mean, it's interesting, like, thinking about, like, I guess our journey here, right, to Haram, to, like, the release and seeing, like, this outpouring of, like, praise. And it exists in a very virtual world right now, right? Like, my material world hasn't shifted so much. Sure, like, pre-pandemic, like, the year leading up to the pandemic was the year where I actually started making money from rap, like, via tours or the music being sold at a level that was like, oh, I can pay some bills with this thing. You know what I mean? But it's not, like, mind-blowing. You know, where my ego should be, like, through the roof. You know what I mean? It's been all very realistic, very gradual. Yeah, I think that's what, for a lot of people, it's just like the money. The money is what makes the ego go out of control. And I pray, you know, to keep the ego in check. But yeah, I think I haven't done enough to, like, warrant that.
Yeah.
Have my ego just out of control, out of check. I also have people in my life that ground me. But there's the last time this happened, right? So this was Shrines. Shrines had just come out, and Tom York posted, like,
yes,
a playlist, right? He posted a playlist, Shrines, a song, I forget what song it was, but two songs from Shrines ended up on this playlist.
Damn.
And I'm geeked, right? Like, that's really cool. I go to tell my partner, yo, Tom York put us on his playlist. Mm. She said, who's Tom York? So, like, this is what I'm grounded by. Mm. You know what I mean? So I haven't had the opportunity to have my head get big. I pray it doesn't. But yeah, that's my life.
I love that, man. I was actually going to just jump into a little bit before I jump into some of the other tracks, was your style or, like, the way you guys attack the mic and also just your lyrics. There's not one waste. Well, for me, there's no waste. It's you just cut back and you get straight to it in poetry and almost spoken word at times, singing, rapping, all of that. One of the things I was actually thinking, I don't know if this actually relates to you guys at all, but tell me if you feel like there's something in this. But when you guys are kind of telling us your stories and your messages, they're coming out in these kind of scattered, fragmented little bites. I can't help but think in the world I live in today, there's so much fracturedness of, like, memory. I can't remember half the things I've looked at that day, the next day. Masses of information we're getting, right? And the way you guys are relaying them makes me feel like, oh, that's sometimes how I feel when I'm on social networks. I don't know if you watch a lot of Adam Curtis's documentaries, but Adam Curtis's documentary filmmaker also has that weird snippety, but information is given to you and it takes a while for it to really seep in. Is there anything in that, or am I just reading completely left field out of that?
I think we mirror society in some ways. I don't think that I maybe do it consciously. I mean, my brain works that way as well sometimes, you know? I love collage type style. We are making rap, which is sample based, which is audio collages. We receive information from all over the place. When we just look at our phones, we're getting all sorts of information at the same time that you like it, you hate it. It doesn't make an impact, but you've seen everything. Your brain, they say, you know, even if you know, your brain processes everything, even when you're not aware, you know? Mm. But yeah, Arm & Hammer music, I definitely think kind of resembles this information flow and sometimes overload. For me, I'm not sure about Woods. I can't speak for Woods, but I know for me and my style, it definitely represents that. But yeah, it's also just sometimes consciously just using it as a tool and just looking at a whole picture and then just describing a few things from there and trying to make something greater than the sum of its parts, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that those things are all true. I think that there's a certain level on which it's unavoidable given the style of the rappers and that there are two of us, that there is going to be some aspect of that regardless to what. To me, I do feel like there's a little more direct storytelling on this album than other albums.
Sure.
But at the same time, we also have some of the shortest songs on this record. And we both have our styles, which lends that to his style can be a little bit more that than mine. But regardless, with the both of us working, and I think sometimes I tend to work in particular snapshots that are, like, not necessarily collages, but when I tell a story, sometimes it's like, you know, if you got a novel and cut out a specific set of flash fiction style things sometimes.
I think Falling Out the Sky is a good example of that.
Yeah.
Your verse there. Maybe even
That is definitely. Well, Squeegee to me is more of Squeegee to me is more of a story. Yes, and Falling Out the Sky. Sorry, I was thinking Scaffolds. Falling Out the Sky and Squeegee definitely fall into that for me, where it's like there's obviously a story before and after you encounter this moment, but my verse is almost completely or is just completely contained in that moment. There's no additional information or anything else involved. But then by virtue of the fact of working together, a lot of times, if we looked at a song like Scaffolds, there's a very collage and esoteric, for me as a listener, esoteric collage effect going on with the Lucid's verse. Well, no, it's like a dark kaleidoscope or something, like all these different colors of gray and silver and black. And I really love it. It has a lot of movement and motion to it. And then my verse is written in a way that I think is pretty oblique, but is about something more specific. But the effect of all of the song is one that I think is very much what you're describing, and that could be kind of like sometimes you're like, I absorb all this information and then out of it you remember this one part of a story that you read in the paper about a person who's has lived in an apartment for a super long time, but some of the other information isn't as clear as for that day. But yeah, I feel that there's a lot of information. There's a lot of fragmentation in that song. And yet within it, there is a solid narrative in there floating around that might unveil itself to somebody either on the first listen or the 100th, at least on my end.
Right.
100%. Scaffolds is one of them ones where I think it was you, Woods, who was saying, I can't afford not to believe in things unseen, but belief has always been dangerous to me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know your guys' relationship with religion, but that's where my mind went straight away about belief. And I've lived in a very religious background as well. And I've seen both parts, the positive and the negative aspects in your relationship in faith and religion and belief. Where are you at with that right now, both of you?
I guess for me, I grew up in an odd dichotomy, right? Because in my house, my father was like pretty hardcore, like African Marxist, did not believe in religion. Mm. My mom felt like, she was never outwardly religious when around us when we were young. And both of them had grown up in very religious homes, however. And so when we were, there was religion, like when we go to Jamaica, I mean, my grandfather was a preacher and we'd have to go to church all day. They grew up in like crazy, intense religious families. So there was religion around, but then in the house, there wasn't. But then in school, we had, everyone in school at that time, you had to say the Lord's Prayer in the morning, and we had scripture classes. And sometimes when you stayed with other people, their families would make you go to their church if you stay overnight on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, damn, my house is right there. And they drive past your house to take you to church with them.
Yeah.
And I used to hate that, but I religion was around a lot, and I was exposed to a lot of religion. And then later on, my sibling became quite religious, but at the same time, I was raised in a pretty irreligious atmosphere, and I never became a believer.
Right. Okay. How about yourself, Lucid?
I mean, I grew up. My family, my parents became Pentecostal Christians when I was a child. It got kind of hardcore for a while. It was funny, like someone had actually hit me up on Twitter the other day talking about like Christian rap. And I haven't thought about that and like how I grew up in so long.
Yeah.
But yeah, when my parents, I guess, kind of got, my mom specifically, when she got very like hardcore about it, I wasn't allowed to listen to regular rap, like secular rap. And we would go to the Christian bookstore and then she would let me get a tape or whatever. So I knew exactly who he was talking about, So it was one of those things. My mom was a musician, my dad a musician. They played and sang in the church. Mm. I came up around amazing musicians that did a lot of things, both in the church and then, going on tour and playing on people's records, like famous people's records throughout the 90s. Yeah, religion is always... Yeah, I grew up in that thing. And then also, hesitant and always questioning, even as a child, like very much questioning and maybe not feeling that the answers that I was receiving were sufficient. And just kind of led me on
maybe a more searching kind of exploratory path when it comes to like spirituality. Yeah, I don't identify as a Christian, but it's hard also to get away from how you were raised. Yeah, I'm not a Christian.
Oh, I see.
But yeah, I've seen, you know, the benefits and also the horrors within that system, which exist in many other systems of like organized religion or groups of spirituality or people that even seek to escape those things and create their own things, but also mirror or duplicate the harms done in those spaces that they escape from. You know, it's really interesting human type of thing, patterns that I've seen, you know?
So on that then, when you guys then wanted to start your careers as artists, as rappers, did you ever feel like there was a need to sit down with your family and just maybe talk them through what you're going to do with your life? How did they respond to the fact that you were going to become an artist? Was there any of that for you guys?
Nah.
All right, that's fair.
Not really. It was like I said, you know, it's been... We're here now with Haram. I've made music since a teenager, and it's always existed in my life, you know, since then. You know, we work mostly indifferent.
Yeah.
It was a very simple GQ thing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm familiar with like, oh shit, my kid, you know, he did this. Yeah. But it's also like, and I think, again, it comes back to like this material world that shifts when real money and real acclaim hit. Then it's different for people to look on the outside and they can legitimize this thing. I've had hundreds of jobs all the while pursuing like being a musician, being a rapper.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, when are you going to put this up? Are you done with this? Or I was like, it doesn't work that way for me. This is just what I do.
Yeah.
And I don't think people understand that until you buy them a house, buy them a car, and then it becomes real. And then it becomes real to them, you know?
Hey, what's up? This is Black Thought, and you are now rocking with the Crate 808 Podcast.
Yo. This is Stretch Armstrong.
Ooh-wee. My name is Bobbito Garcia, a.k.a. Cool Bob Love.
You're now listening to Crate 808.
Hey, yo, what up, y'all? This is Prince Paul, and you're rocking with Crate 808 Podcast.
Yo, it's Evie Evidence, Dilated Peoples. You're rocking with the Crate 808 Podcast, my favorite shit. Let's go.
Yo, what's going on, y'all? This is Master Ace from Brooklyn, New York, and you're checking out the Crate 808 Podcast, real hip hop.
I was going to just go back to the album then. Stone Fruit, we talked about. I just need to shout out yourself as well, Woods, on that verse that you bring on that, because for me, it's just some of the most emotive work I've just heard, especially in hip hop. I was wondering if you could break a little bit of that, where you were coming from behind that. And if you don't mind sharing some of that story where you were talking about, you know, wow, just that verse, that last verse.
I think that for me, the song was really talking about the space that you can be in when you love somebody so much that you hate them, which obviously is a space lots of people find themselves in and can drive them to crazy, to doing wild things, you know, and sometimes or just great inner turmoil. I think that, you know, where you have a love so powerful and a connection so powerful, the flip side of that, it can be a really intense hatred. And it's interesting because the song has two very distinct perspectives, but it is obviously about those emotions of love and connection and ownership and independence, you know.
Yeah, for sure, man. I know you said earlier about Falling Out the Sky. Again, just another incredible record on this incredible album. There was an element of nostalgia in there as well, but it was also little things like the little excerpts in there. I think it's like David Lynch is in there, a little Richard and stuff like that. I mean, you kicked the whole album off with like excerpts and stuff. Talk me through some of that. Like, was that Al? Was that you guys? Was it a cohesive thing? How did that kind of stuff come about?
Didn't Earl do one of those? Like, he co-produced the record, right?
Falling Out the Sky was specifically Alchemist and me. Not that I want to keep throwing his name around before they do a DMCA, but the director you mentioned was the one I provided, and the other one was done by Al. And then in terms of the album as a whole, it was a collective effort. Mm-hmm. You know, Al definitely put everything in the right places and made everything sound right and had a whole bunch of things that he came with. Yeah, everybody had little things that they added. Lucid had the motorbikes at the beginning of Wishing Bad are my favorite. I love those, you know?
Yeah.
And
the transition from Pepper Tree with the hammering and everything.
Mm, mm.
Or before, is that into Pepper Tree?
Yeah. I believe it was getting to Pepper Tree, you know, from Sir Benny Miles into Roaches Don't Fly.
Yeah.
A lot of transitions.
And then some of the weirder movie things were things that I picked up. And then Al had his hands in all types of weird things, some of which were already on the records when we got them. Aubergine being a good example.
Did you guys like find any themes afterwards that you may have not been going for?
Always. There's always something where you're like, wow, after listening to it, you could hear things that you didn't even realize about the other person's verse or about what you're doing or things that you did that reflect a situation that didn't fully unveil itself until after the music came out.
I love that, man. I was going to just jump into Black Sunlight as well. Just so you could, some of this stuff is so deep. It's like a fucking ocean, man. Like you could be here for 10 years, like peeling these layers. And I love it. And I think that's why we love your music generally. I was listening to Black Sunlight. It just made me think, I think you talk about iridescent blackness being performative or praxis. And I just thought of how you guys are kind of feeling about this time in this life, especially the Western world, where there's a supposed sea of change, a supposed like new thinking amongst young people and our age as well, and older. Has there been other conversations you've had nowadays that are maybe just different that you wouldn't have had if it wasn't for 2020 around your support network and your friends and yourselves? Or do you think it might not be as clear and vivid as people are making it out to be?
I think we kind of swing on a pendulum. What you're saying is probably accurate. I've watched like so-called like fringe ideas, practices, language be totally centered like right now in 2021. The ways that people, like, we just got legalized in New York, which is cool. You know what I mean? Like the idea that someone ran for president in this country and was talking about universal income or guaranteed income for people, you know.
Yeah.
Then thinking about like socially, like Woods also, he like, you know, I feel like you like put this point on me. Think about the '70s and thinking about like social unrest and riots and the way, you know, and how these things were talked about then as well. You know, when I referenced Kill Your Landlord, like that's something from like a '70s radical socialist sort of like idea that's has a resurgence like right now. Yeah. So a lot of leftist sort of like ideas and ideologies are like centered now, but they were in the past and they'll go away at some point and they'll come back again is my, you know, what I'm seeing maybe.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, the things change, but the, you know, the uniforms change, but it's the same biggest. Same ideas, you know? So it's like, although there's always evolution in how the ideas present themselves and so forth, but the right wing ideas, they're the same. Mm. They've been the same for 100 years.
100%. It's just nice to hear that in art, like, you know, when you're listening to this and you're like, damn, that reflects how I feel. Because sometimes it's very, people just miss that complete point. And it's like a cyclical nature to life, I suppose. I was just going to jump in on you guys as a group as well. Oh, is that your little one? It's fine.
That's all good. It's snack time.
If they want to jump on, bring them on, man.
You want to say what's up? You want to say what's up?
No, he's shy. He good.
Oh, bless. Oh, man, that's beautiful. I was going to say, for you guys as a group who have come around in the last, 10 years or even more maybe of work, have you had time to reflect on the work you've done, or are you kind of driving forward?
I think I'm always kind of like on to the next one. And okay. I'm trying to learn to like sit back and like appreciate things. They being, you know, we're doing these interviews and, you know, we had this question before and Woods, you know, he said something talking about like, you know, we made this record, but it's like, what's next, right? Like is always what's next, but it's just like, you never want to go ahead and do the record the same way. So, you know, listen to that record and like, what can be different? What can challenge me for this next one? Using the last record as a springboard into that sort of a thought, you know? But yeah, I'm definitely on to the next one. I'm thinking about the solo album right now.
Damn.
Also, I thought about the other day how I was just like thinking about like someone mentioned like world building and, you know, thinking about like Arm & Hammer, like discography, right? Mm-hmm. And it'd be like, think about the cast of characters and I guess this world citizens. I think it's pretty cool how we have a recurring cast of characters, new characters always introduced, but like, you know, we have people that show up on different records and with Arm & Hammer, even myself, like thinking about like Kayana, especially like brought her in for the small bills and here she is on Arm & Hammer joint. Mm. She'll probably be on my solo record, you know, Fielded shows up, Curly Castro, like, you know, there's different citizens that continue to like show up. Mm. And as well, and I dig that.
I think that I agree with everything that he said. Yeah, I'm always thinking about what's next. I think that because of the nature of running the record label and being involved on that level, a lot of times I'm also then thinking about what do we have to do. Right now, I haven't really gotten too deep into thinking what's next for me creatively.
Okay.
I just had a pretty, you know, I had a few things that we, between Shrines, Brass, and this. There's one or two other things where there's like pots and starting to bubble, but not even where you're starting to chop up some ingredients to put them in the pot. But I have a lot of other people's projects that got to be thought about and figured out and just handling the business end of the label. I have one or two other creative endeavors outside of hip hop that I need to devote some more time to bring them to fruition. But so yeah, my answer would be I haven't started thinking about it yet, but I will. Thinking about a Lucid album too.
For sure. You know, for sure.
Think about that. I'm thinking about what's coming next for, you know, a field that does another record with us. I'm not sure, but she definitely has some really cool stuff that she's working on. Love to take a crack at. Mm. Willie Green always has stuff on the table. Steel Tip Dove.
Yes,
talked about some things that he has going on that look real interesting that I think could be coming soon. Shrapnel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Curly Castro and Prem Rock together and separately. There's been a lot of stuff. This kid, Defcy from Chicago. Akai Solo. Yes. I'm hoping to bring something to fruition with him. Mm. There's a lot of other people's stuff going on. So that's where my mind is right now. Okay. I really, really haven't figured it out. But obviously, at some point, I probably will do another solo album.
You talk about Castro there, man. Big up Curly Castro. That puffy line alone was so serious. It got to the heart of all of us, man. I was like, damn, that guy came to play. So yeah,
very, very timely.
Very timely.
People appreciated that one.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
I like the Icarus line a lot, but you know, I'm a sucker for Greek mythology.
Boom, boom.
Yo, what up, y'all? This is DJ Premier, and you're checking out the Crates 808 podcast. I put an S on it because there's more than one record in the crate, you know what I'm saying? So that's how we dig, that's how we play, and that's what real DJs do. You heard? That's why it goes down. We out ya.
I was actually going to say, as a group, and you look at how people are, as you said, perceiving you, would you say there's been any common misconceptions about you guys in the last whilst you've been working?
Sure. I feel like I've covered a lot of them already, though, and sometimes I also feel like I want to leave room for the fact that sometimes, and I try not to be, but sometimes I've been critical of some of the journalism and coverage, and some of it is downright lazy, and others of it is really ambitious and good. And other times people are trying to write something good, but it's a difficult subject to write about, and they may not be that good of writers, which is okay. Like, that doesn't always mean that you had a plus. Sometimes you read something and you're like, this was legitimately just lazy. And that's what's really disappointing and annoying to me, especially if it takes place on a
Arm and Hammer apocalypse.
That was my next adverb, guys. Sorry, yeah. I'm going to have to get rid of that one.
some of it is pretty lazy. But also at the same time, I do recognize not the easiest thing to write about. Sometimes we're better, and again, this is not on any type of gassing anything. It can be difficult and challenging to write about people who are better writers than you. Anybody who is a writer will tell you the same thing.
That's valid.
It's a true thing, man. It's a true thing. It's tough. It's like if you want to, it's easy to talk to somebody about their art, but if you're a musician and somebody asks you to write about a great musician, it's challenging. You know, and I think that, or write about it. I used the wrong analogy. If somebody asks a musician to kind of like musically build off of something that a greater musician has done, it's difficult. And sometimes I think that it's a difficult subject to write about. Our music is complex and layered. And if you want to do it justice and not be lazy, you still might write something and some of it might be off, depending on how. Yeah. I respect that somebody made the honest attempt and really tried. I respect that.
Absolutely. I feel there's a validity to what you're saying. Absolutely. Even now, man, for me, I've never had you guys on the pod, and just trying to think about questions that would, like, it's so complex. There's so much, many layers. It's like human life. I'm sorry to put it in that bracket, but it's like all their records span so many different themes and categories and just life, right? So how do you even start to nail that down? It's not like I'm talking to a person who's in a certain pocket all the time. I feel like you guys kind of verge everywhere, but
it's hard. Yeah, it's just a challenge. And as a person who's done writing outside of making music, I recognize that sometimes people are trying, they just didn't do a great job, which you don't necessarily need to be assailed for. But there are other people who literally, it's like they just got it out of the Arm & Hammer review generator, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say then about that, because I remember when I first heard your music, like I said, Paraffin was one of the first ones that I heard. It took me a time to acclimatize and kind of get to my ears in. I was wondering, for you guys, have you ever been in a position where maybe you've heard something and maybe you've dismissed it a little bit, or like you've not really gone for it hell for leather straight away, and then maybe a year or two later where you're like, oh damn, no, that's actually fucking amazing. Has there been anything like that?
Totally.
Yeah,
totally. Oh, it happened on this record. It happened on Haram a couple of times, man. The number one miss by me, Chicharrones. I should have been on that song, man. I should have been on that song. And I don't know. Again, I was working on a Small Bills record and I was like looking for a particular lane. I was going to Detroit to finish that record and I needed to like really be locked into this way I was thinking, right? And I got the Chicharrones like beat and I was just like, nah, this ain't it for me right now. This is not it. You know? Yeah. And then when I heard Wood's verse, when I heard Quelle's verse, I was like, oh, I feel like an idiot, man. Like, I should have been on that. It's an amazing record that I missed the opportunity, you know? Mm. I couldn't see it. I couldn't see it in the moment.
For me, I mean, it would have been Giraffe Hunts, but me and More Mother ended up making it.
Also, that's right? Two. Giraffe Hunts. That's two. I should have been on the Giraffe Hunts.
I wrote my first, I laid out the whole plan. And he actually kept okaying it as a good idea, and he was going to do it, and just never did it. But then I got that done with More Mother, so that didn't bother me as much. And she obviously did an incredible job. And I'm really here for when the discussion starts about Brass and Haram. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Nobody wants to start the direct comparison, but it is interesting. Mm. But anyway, I looking at this record, honestly, there was a beat. I don't know if the Lucid remembers that there was a beat which was on one of the early batches that the Alchemist sent us. Mm. And I overlooked it somehow, but God knows. And later on, Lucid was like, yo, whatever happened to this beat? Mm. Although he had not mentioned it at the time, so he's just as guilty as me. And he was like, what's up with this beat? This beat is fire. I went back and listened to it. It was incredible. Immediately called Al, and he was like, it's taken. And I tried to weasel around. Is it really taken? And he's like, it's gone, bro. It's gone. It's gone.
Man.
And you're like, oh, man. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
And, wait until I hear that. Oh, man, because that beat was so fucking good. I do not know how we missed it.
Who has it? Do you know who has it?
I have a suspicion.
Mm.
I have a suspicion, but I don't know. I don't know exactly. I mean, a good rapper got it, you know. That's a good thing with Al. It's like a good rapper got it.
Yeah, that's
good. We had the same thing with the Shrines record. There was a beat from August Fanon.
Mm, big up.
But August Fanon, so many people get at August Fanon. So it's like you got to jump on the beat or it's gone.
Oh, damn.
And I get lazy or take too long, get too caught up. Elusa checks things at his own pace.
You slept on Charms. You slept on the Charms before Charms.
Oh my days.
I did, for sure. But that still made the record.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there was lots of joints on there that you were the one who picked. But this one beat from Fanon. And it was like, somehow I just didn't see it the first time around. And when we went back through, I was like, yo, this is fire.
Damn.
And somebody else had plucked it, and I heard the song come out a little while after that, and it was cool. They did a good job, but I still don't like the ham. I wish I had that fucking beat. And now, I'm waiting to hear this Alchemist beat, man. It was so, it was so crazy. And you're like, how did I not hear it? Damn. It wasn't like he was sending packs with just tons of beats.
Mm.
It was like seven beats.
Maybe you had the wrong jar of weed. Maybe you had the wrong jar of weed on you at the time.
I had the wrong jar of weed on.
Maybe that's what it was.
There's no doubt about it now that you mentioned it. The mystery is solved.
Man, it's nice. Well, it's not nice to hear that because I want to hear you guys on these tracks. But also, it's kind of like, well, it's a thing, right? Like, it does happen. And, well, this is the universe we live in, man. They get all pinged about and what lands, lands, right? And I feel like you've got more than enough on this. Like, Indian Summer, man. What a fucking beat, man. What a track, generally. But one thing I did actually want to say, because I know you guys seem to have come from different sounds like, one thing I really enjoyed about your music when I really got into it was I thought that you probably listened to other things that my hip-hop friends don't listen to. And then Elucid, I saw an interview with you the other day and you were rocking a Swans tee, bro.
Oh yeah, I love Swans.
Here we go. I'm here
for Swans. They're an amazing band. Everyone should listen to more Swans.
I want to do, you know what Open Mic is doing right now with LP? I want to sit down with you and do all of the Swans albums. Let's go,
let's
bro.
Rank Swans album. Let's rank Swans albums. Yes, yes. I mean, but I guess a lot of people, you know, rappers or, you know, people who love hip hop, you know, can't really see the connection. But for me, it's a mood. It's a heaviness that translates to me, like, immediately. There's an intensity that's there, you know? The repetition is all in there. It's like the bass tones that they use. It's all like, I feel all the same things. And I guess, you know, sometimes maybe you need to see things live for it to make sense. But once I did, I connected the dots and I was hooked.
Man, I saw them live. Last time I saw them live, I just looked to my right and I've never seen so many 50-year-old white men pinned to a wall through sheer sound. And it was like it's just like a crowd of white blokes just like pinned to the wall. It's fucking great. But yeah, I don't know, Woods, if you're into Swans or not, but man, I'd be here for you.
I do not know their music, but Elucid is a tireless supporter, so I probably should.
Oh man, I love that, man.
And your man who did the Washington Post interview.
Zach. Yep.
He's a big supporter and he has really eclectic, interesting music interests. Me amongst them, he was definitely interviewed me way back when nobody even cared. So yeah, I should check it out.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to hear your thoughts, man, for sure. But yeah, man, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I know you guys have been busy, you've been stacked. But really, I just wanted to ask about UK vibes, man. We're UK podcast. I just wanted to hear like your thoughts on the UK. Are you coming? I know it's too early to maybe say with the way the world is, but are you looking to maybe come back to the UK at any point at all?
Can't wait. Got shown so much love. Shout out Euphonic Rhythms and Ricardo over there who brought us over there. That was May, though. He brought me over there twice, one with Nordstrom Grocers and another time with Armin Hammer.
Yeah, shout out to Euphonic Rhythms.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah.
What do you miss about England, guys, if there's anything?
Vinegar on my fish. it was so dope. It was so dope just to be out there and just like connect with people who, you know, obviously don't live in my city across the pond. Like, it was fly, man.
Wicked. I know you guys like, especially you, Woods, you do drop a lot of sports references. Do you ever want to go to a match when you guys come over? A football match? No.
Outside.
The both, not really.
Being outside for that long is a mixed blessing. But I would go, and I'll tell you the circumstances under which I would go.
Let's go.
You know, I have a lot of relatives and Zimbabwean friends that I grew up with who are out there. I was to go and fuck with them, with Gwinyai and them. You know, I would get down with whatever. It would be cool.
Boom.
It would be cool. But not the first thing that I would think of doing. But I would do it.
What would be the first thing, just out of interest?
Oh, man. Well, I like walking around, period. And so walking around interesting cities that I'm not from is always cool. I like that. Nice. I like London. Aesthetically, it's interesting to look at. Food, always.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Food.
Finding places to eat, man. I have to say, a standout while I was there was as far as on the highway system in, maybe it was in Scotland.
This is in Scotland, yeah.
Oh, okay.
The food situation was absolutely incredible.
Damn.
That's not a restaurant.
In terms of at the rest stops, they had some sort of like farm to table rest stop food situation. It was like restaurant quality as opposed to here where you're just looking at a range of fast food restaurants to get in a line for. that was fun. But yeah, I would go out and eat some good food for sure. There's really good Indian food in England.
Yes,
Caribbean food is a bit different.
Yes.
In British restaurants, there's foods that I grew up with that I don't get here. Okay. So like shepherd's pie, kind of a hard ask over here. And I am always down to eat shepherd's pie. Did I say Indian food?
You did say Indian food.
Mm-hmm. You can say it twice. It was absolutely
delicious. Yeah. My wife is making me some right now, actually. So, yes, I'm in. I was just going to say, I never thought when I started this conversation, I never thought we'd talk about shepherd's pie. It's fucking great. What a way to what a way to cap it off, man. Brilliant. But, guys, thank you again. And you know what? Congratulations, man, because I know you guys have been around for a minute and you've been working hard. And it's just nice to see you guys getting as much love as you're getting right now. You're all over my timelines, man. So, it's a beautiful thing. Anytime you want to jump back on, the doors are open, man. I know you're a fan of Soul Food, Woods. Is it Woods? Yeah, Woods, you're a fan of Soul Food, right? The album Soul Food?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I am going to have to leave right now.
Oh, go. No worries, man.
Sorry. Are you about to talk about Soul Food, the album?
I'm just saying, anytime you want to come back on and we talk about Soul Food, man, I'm here for that. So
bring me on for an episode just about talking about that record. I'm ready. Just let me know when.
Let's do it. Go for it, man. Shoot. Peace.
Appreciate you.
Elucid, thank you very much and good luck. And yeah, I'll speak to you soon.
All right, now take it easy. Enjoy dinner.
I'm gonna
yes. All right, now
thank you, bro. Peace. Peace.
Hey guys, this is Jerobi from A Tribe Called Quest. You're listening to the Crate 808 Podcast.
Yo, what's up, man? It's your man El Zai, and you're rocking with the Crate 808 Podcast. You know what I'm saying? Where you can check out, you know, artists like me.
Hey, it's Steve Rifkin from Loud Records. You're rocking with the Crate 808 Podcast. Spread the word. These guys are dope. The questions they ask and the interview is amazing. Enjoy yourself, be safe, and be healthy.
1212, you know what it is. This your man SKYZOO Sky Zoo, live out the borough. And this is the Crate 808 Podcast. Make sure you subscribe, rate, review, and most importantly, share that love and put your peoples on.
Peace and light, this is Cy-Rock, rocking with Crate 808 Podcast. And you want to check out everything hip-hop on crate808.com.
Yo, this is Juggernaut, Nottingham City, NG area. You're rocking with the Crate 808 Podcast. Make sure you keep it locked in. There's so many gems dropped. Crate808.com.
Hey, yo, this is the one and only R.A., the Rugged Man. And I'm rocking with the Crate 808 Podcast with my man Cam. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Armand Hammer. A bit of an abrupt end, but man, who cares? That was amazing. What a great chat. One of the best rap duos, I would say period, but also just right now, right up there. They are. It's nice to see artists and they're on their apex, right? And it's just like, yeah, they're on that just trajectory of success. It's great. So yes, go check out Haram. Go check out all their other albums. And yeah, go check us out. Crate808.com. Sign up to the newsletter. We'll be doing a Patreon. So if you want to keep up to date on all the stuff we're going to be doing, check that out. Go check the merch. Go cop yourself a tee. Go cop yourself a hoodie. And yeah, just hit us up on the mailbag as well. crate808@gmail.com. Just hit us up with your feedback. Let us know what you think to Haram. What's your favorite tracks? Any deep readings you got into it? I know people are taking like time to really break down this album. So anything you've got, hit us up. And for you YouTube guys, man, just hit like, hit subscribe and comment, because the comments are always nice, always kicks off in there and we like to get involved. And yeah, just peace out. Take it easy. Enjoy Armand Hammer whilst they are here. Go listen to some more Swans in your life. Get them in your life. And yeah, word, I shall catch you on the flip side. Peace.